All right, wish to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessing to be back with you. Bring greetings from the brethren in Mexico. Blessing to be with them again. Spend some time there. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you again for your goodness and for your mercy. We just ask your blessing, Father, upon this time together. Lord, be with the brethren around the world, Father. Lord, just help us all to be faithful. Lord, be with those who are sick. Lord, just ask your blessing upon them, Father, as you watch over. Thy will be done, Lord. Again, we just thank you. We ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Lord, you'd help us to hear you, Father, to apply these things to our heart. Again, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's open our Bibles to Acts, the book of Acts, chapter 1. Begin in verse 8, just read a verse here. It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And then it says, "You shall be my witnesses." And I want to talk this morning just, whenever I think one of the things that I want to bring out is we think of witnessing or preaching. And I want to just kind of go to what the command is. You know, we have the idea that we've got to just have a special time and we go witnessing, or we go preaching. You know, we call it preaching, but it's witnessing, or being a witness. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. You know, it is just like anything else. We can just have it in our minds, our religious responsibility, or just having a method of doing something. And we get into that method and that becomes our religious act. And I think a lot of times we think of that with preaching. You know, it's just our time to go preach or our time to go do something. And we get in our head that this is our time just to go be a preacher. But our call is to be a witness. And that is not just, you know, a part of our lives. That is, we'll be given power to be a witness. And whenever we think about being a witness, you know, we think of going out and telling somebody something. But what we are when we are a witness is we are a witness to Christ. And when we think about a witness, we think about someone who's seen something. You know, in the court, there would be a witness. A witness is the person who saw someone else do something. They actually saw what happened. And whenever the Bible talks about being a witness for us, we are a witness. We are His witness. More than just something we speak with our mouth, we are His witness. You know, whenever the Bible talks about Jesus coming to the earth and into the world, He said, I just speak what I've heard. He was just a witness of God. Christ came into this world in the flesh. He was the witness of God in the world. He was the light. He was the witness of God in the world. And when Jesus came and his disciples, what did his disciples have to tell people? These things we have seen and heard. And you'll tell them to others. It was things that they had actually saw. This is the man that we've seen and felt with our own hands, the Bible talks about. And they wrote those down. But more importantly, they passed them on to someone else. You know, I think one of the things that's really gone wrong with Christianity is there's people out that are witnessing, what they've learned versus what they've seen and heard. And there's a great difference between hearing something and just learning something. We give people the Bible and they can learn things. We can train our children to learn how they're supposed to be. And I think this is where things kind of break down. We learn them and we think we have them. But you can't be a witness because you've learned something. You can tell what you've learned, but that's a great deal different than, he said, my spirit, I'll give you my spirit, and you will become my witnesses. Because that's what we've experienced, and that's, we've talked about it before. You know, I think the reason, the way we judge people or the way we look at people is because and we reflect God. And I think a lot of times people can't forgive because they haven't had forgiveness. They can't love because they've never had love. We are a reflection. We are the light. We're just reflecting God to the world. We are the witness of God to the world. There's a great difference between that. I mean, there's people all over the world going out and preaching what they've been taught. Every religion in the world has some mechanism of doing that. And that's a great difference. It's the way it works. And I think that's the big downfall of Christianity. Because we've learned it, but we've never witnessed it. We've not seen it in action. We've never tasted it ourselves a lot of times. So whenever we're called to be a witness, what are we called to do? We're called to go tell the world what we've experienced. And I think that's why there's so much mockery in Christianity today. They've heard people that learned it, and that's just pretty easy just to laugh at because there's no power there to it. But when we've had forgiveness, we've experienced love, we've experienced God in our own hearts, we have something to actually tell someone about. You know, I think, you know, it's easy to, well, God forgives because we're taught it. You know, and so, well, I must be forgiven. And I think that's one of the things when I was a young boy, you know, they asked, well, have you been forgiven? I don't know. Well, the Bible says it, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, do you believe the Bible? Well, yeah. Oh, the light was supposed to come on and say, oh, I must be forgiven because the Bible says it. That is learning something. Versus experiencing it. I mean, whenever you've done something wrong and someone actually, you know, it doesn't have to be a mystical thing. Just being forgiven by someone. We learn to taste forgiveness. That is a witness of, that's a reflection of how God does things. So when we forgive or we carry out the things that God would have, even though you know, you don't have to be a Christian to understand all things. We can experience the things of God by other people, by other groups. They can taste that. You know, whenever, like Jesus gave the story of the man that owed the great debt, and the king forgave him, and he went out, and instead of recognizing this is forgiveness and realizing he just got set free from something, so he went out and did whatever he wanted to and found the next guy that owed him, and bang, right there he was on it. Instead of, I've been forgiven. I know what this is like to be forgiven. I want to give it to someone else. That's a witness. Versus someone who just learns it. Being a witness. And that's what we're called to be. You know, let's open our Bibles to Deuteronomy. Chapter 19, verse 15. This is something we can apply right here to ourselves. You know, one of the boys brought out, Roger, I think, said that, you know, how can you love God or say you love God if you don't love your neighbor? You know, how can we say we know forgiveness if we can't forgive our neighbor? And you can just put anything else there and you want. You know, how we're judged will be judged. Well, how God will judge me is how I judge my neighbor. And we've talked about it recently, you know. It's easy to forgive someone on the street that comes up and might do us wrong. You know, it's all right. We'll, you know, someone that, a stranger. It's just so easy for us to just forgive a complete stranger. For some offense. Oh, sorry, excuse me. You know, we're very polite with strangers. But the real test is right next door. Right in our own homes. Right in our own families or in our friends. You know, whenever our friends do something, we take it really seriously. And instead of just being like we would if we bumped into a stranger, if a friend does it to us or a family member, we're right away bristled up and ready for a battle. Where if a stranger would do the same thing, we'd be, oh, it's all right, don't worry about it. But we know they're in, you know, they didn't mean nothing. But when a family member or a brother does it, well, they ought to know better. You know, and so we hold them to a different level. But that is the level that God's talking about that we're going to be judged by. Not by how we react to someone out on the street, but how we react to each other. It's how, you know, and judge not lest you be judged. This is the level that he's talking about, not just because somebody on the street does us a little wrong, no big deal. That doesn't matter at all. Because the real test is how do we do it when it's close to home? That's where the real test is, of being a witness. We're the witness. Jesus said, the world will recognize the church for who you are. By your love one for another. But we hold our one another in quite a bit different spectrum because that's just what we do. I want to read this here about being a witness. Verse 15. One witness shall not rise against a man about any injustice or any offense or sin concerning that which he may be guilty, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, the matter shall be established. You know, talked about judging, you know. that we get preconceived ideas in our mind sometimes. How many times does it take for a brother to do some little wrong thing and right away it plants a seed and he's guilty in our own mind? He should have known better. He knows better. He did me wrong. He did an injustice to me. You know, the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses shall these things be established. We get them established in our mind with the first little offense a lot of times. First little thing that goes wrong. And then we begin building a case. And then we let it stew and let it grow and grow. And we've already let these things become a witness to us. And we've a witness is someone who saw something happen. And then, let's read on. If an unjust witness arises against any man, accusing him of impiety, then both men in the controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priests and the judges who serve in those days. Okay? If we would look at the injustices that are done to us and put them in this same thing. You know, if before we began building a case against a brother or a family or a friend or whoever, before we start doing that, if we would bring it to the Lord and say, am I ready to stand up before the Lord and accuse them of this thing right here? Is it that serious to me? Or could we just forgive it? Well, Peter talked about forgiving. How many times shall a man offend me or do me wrong? 7 times, he said. And the Lord said, 70 times 7. But if there is something that we have to bring up for someone, which that's what I want to look at is, okay, am I ready to stand before the Lord and bring this case against my brother to the Lord? Okay, maybe he didn't do quite everything he should have. Are you ready to go to the law about it? Are you ready to go to court over it? Well, if you're not, it would be a lot easier just to forgive it and go on. Fix the mess, fix the problem, fix whatever it is, and just forgive it. But if you're not going to forgive it, the only remedy is to bring it to the court. These men accusing him of impiety, then both men in the controversy shall stand before the Lord, before the priest and the judges who serve in those days. Thus the judges shall make careful inquiry, and indeed, if the witness is an unjust witness who has testified unjustly against his brother, then you shall do to him in the manner he maliciously intended to do to his brother. You know, whenever we talk about bearing false witness, right here is what it's talking about. Bearing a false witness against somebody. And the thing about it is whenever we're witnessing to someone about the Lord, you know, and we have a misconception about Him, and we're trying to tell about the Lord, we're a witness for the Lord. And our life, the way we treat others, is a witness before the Lord. That's our calling as a disciple, as a Christian, is to be a witness for the Lord in everything. In the way we do. we're reflecting, we're presenting the Lord. And if our presentation is just full of petty little matters that somebody just did us a little bit wrong, that same manner of judgment is the way we're going to be judged. You know, this thing, that's the seriousness of bringing an accusation against another brother. If you're wrong, right here's the seriousness. If you're wrong, this is why the court system, this is how the court system is supposed to work. If someone's done me wrong, and I present it, and I was wrong, and I brought a case against them, whatever my charge against them, if I say someone's committed murder, and I testify as a witness that I saw him commit murder, and I'm wrong, or I lied, whatever, and it's proven, then whatever I accuse you of comes right back on me. If you're to be stoned because of your action and I brought a false witness against you about it, I'm to be stoned for bringing that witness. That's the seriousness of that. And I know, you know, our cases might not be that near serious, but if our accusation isn't big enough to bring to the Lord, it's not big enough to trouble us about. And if it is, and we make a case out of it and just keep pushing, it gets to this level. You know, I think that's one of the things that, you know, today there's people that are accused of all kinds of things. And then you find out later that the person that's acute, that's exactly what they were doing. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. When you accuse somebody of something and you're doing it, and it's you that's doing it, you know, it's not just a matter of a judgment. It's we look at people the way we see them. I mean, we look at people through the reflection of what we are. And if we're, you know, we see some indiscrepancy in our lives, well, that's what we begin to see in everybody. That's a dangerous thing. It gets distorted. And see, that's the thing, that's what it is about being a witness for Jesus. It gets all distorted. And so what we're reflecting is not the true light. It's just some distorted version of it that's a false witness to him. That's why it's important that what we reflect, you know, that's why I think he puts so much emphasis on judging and condemning others, no mercy, no patience. Because that's the very thing he's abounding in giving in us. You know, those other laws, we can just be as religious as we want to with all those other things. But if we miss that reflection of what he's directly offered to us through Christ, those other things are just religious rigmarole to him. Don't mean a thing. He wants us to be a witness. We can go out and spout his commandments, spout his laws, and jump down everybody's throat about how Jesus said this or Jesus said that. But if we're not reflecting that mercy and love that he directly bestowed upon us, it's worse than nothing. We're called to be a witness of him, of who he is. We are the representative of Christ on this earth. Can't we take just a little being wronged? Can't we take just a little few trespasses against us? If we look at those things that we've trespassed against the Lord and compare them to what people have done to us, and we don't have the mercy or the patience or the grace to forgive them, God help us. Our call is to be a witness of those things. That's what the world needs. The world needs peace. The world needs to see a people that have the aura of Christ around them. And that's what His Spirit comes to empower us to do. To be that. To taste of those things. Then we have something to reflect to the world. There's countless religions out touting their laws and their rules. Some of them are spot on to what the Bible teaches. But if we're not a witness of His mercy and His grace and His patience first, it don't matter how straight and how correct our teachings can be. Now, that's one thing we forget sometimes. I mean, whenever I was first converted, I just wanted to share what I had found with people. What I had tasted. You know, I'd preached to people before, trying to get them to go to church, trying to get them to be saved or whatever. But whenever I found God's mercy and forgiveness and power, that's what I wanted to share with other people. It's not just His rules. And there's a place for teaching those things so that people can see where they need to get in line with what Jesus taught. But if the heart of that isn't because we've witnessed, look what this man has done for me. That's a witness. Our preaching and our can just be as just as religious as someone going out and teaching the law. That the Pharisees that Jesus talked about when He was talking about the Pharisees or the perversions of it or whatever. But if we've met and known and tasted, we've got something to reflect and give. The Bible says, go into all the world. He starts in Jerusalem. In other words, He starts at home. And then to Samaria. And then to the outermost parts of the earth. But He always starts at home with us. May the Lord have His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? You know, a lot of times we know each other's faults. And that's the place where we need to start. If we know somebody's weak in one area, instead of just getting on them, know that I'm going to have to step up a little bit in that area. And know that I'm going to have to go a little extra in that area. Because I know they're lacking. Instead of complaining about where they're lacking, we can step up and recognize, hey, that's where they're lacking. That's where I can actually help. You know, we're looking for people to help all around us. And a lot of times the people that need help are the ones that we think they ought to just be doing better. Anyway. All right. Well, God bless y'all. Anyone have anything? Okay. All right. pray for Hoyt. Is there anything else? And just as just a man in the neighborhood's had the flu and got a fever, and he's just basically irresponsive in the hospital. There's just nothing they can do, and don't think he's gonna make it. So. Anyone else? All right. Well, we'll meet back at 6 o'clock this evening, Lord willing. God bless y'all. Depart in peace. God be with you.